ahead of you.
Okay, so I don't know if you listen, to a recording that I put up today from yesterday, because I had issues with recordings yesterday. But no, I'll have to come down for you.
Huh?
Have to come down for
you. Oh, right. Oh, yeah, of course I did yesterday. So I thought I'd done it before. I'm up to date.
Yeah. In any case, the Gemara discusses this issue, this halacha of Yerach Alei Allah, Allah Rishana, right? That you Talmud Shachar, how do you know Talmud Shachar is the first korban brought on the day? Because Be'aracha Alei Allah, Amarab Alei Allah, Oilah Rishana, right? The Oilah, why the definite article Ha? Right? How do you know which Allah is it referring to? There are lots of Allahs in the base of Mektush, right? Why the Allah? It must be the first one, because there is no, like, there's no particularly significant one you could be pointing to. It must be the first one. That would be the one that is the. Right? That's the way the drasha works. There is a parallel halacha that we know that we never bring a korban ever after Talmud Shabbat, right? I don't want to get into the details right now. The only thing that's relevant here is, and there is a further halacha that a shlamim is anyway possible before psichas dalsas ha'echal, which anyway happens right before a current talmid is brought. So there is three halachas which are more or less all achieving the same thing, as in two halachas which are literally achieving the same thing. They say korach can't bring a korban before this point. Another one which basically has a very parallel halacha at the end of the day. There is a shaylin rishonim back that he had to interpret. You say that korbanos are possible before the Talmud Shachar and some other Shrinim, Rotos say yes, other Shrinim say no, right? Do you say the Korban is apostle after the Talmud Shalom Yerayim? Kima, everybody says yes, with except for one notable exception. Which Korban can you bring after the Talmud Shalom Yerayim? Or should you?
Pesach.
Always brought after the Talmud Shalom Yerayim. Right? There are different ways of understanding it. You could say that there is, in other words, a lot of people want to say that it's a system, right? You know, the Beis Hamikdash basically starts with this Korban and ends with this Korban, there's a system, right? There is evidence that in those cases, including that they are brought derived from very different psukim, that it might be that after Talmud Shabbat Rayim is only is a lav, or before Talmud Shachar is only an asay, that it's not considered mechusar as man before Talmud Shachar, that it might even be kosher with the evid, according to certain fringe deus in Rishonim. If that's the case, then you have to say no, it's not that there's a system, this voice comes first and this voice comes last, that there is really two separate things here. They seem similar, they're actually not, they have two different things. It's a very, very large sugya. I don't want to get into the details. There's a lot of shitos. I just wanted to mention, I forgot to mention in the recording yesterday, and I wanted to mention it.
Is that in Zvachim, sugya? Or is
Zvachim and Achis in Yuma. A lot of it's in Yuma.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of korbanos topics actually show up very prominently in Yuma, just because the Masechta is largely kodshim, and over the course of the day, there's really no type of korban that the Korokon Gadol didn't bring.
Yeah.
So also, Pesachim actually has a big deal. There's a big deal in Pesachim, and again, because Korban Pesach is the exception. So the fact that Korban Pesach is the exception leads the Gemara to discuss the rule. Okay, and that's in the fifth parak of Korban Pesach. Tamin Nishchat. Tamin Nishchat. And fine. Okay, fine. Heichelu, I'm going to start in the middle of the Mishnah. Veheichelu Mailin Begzirin Lesader Etzamarach. So they started to bring up the two. The two slabs of wood onto what's called the Sader Samarach. So this is a particular halacha. This is a particular set of halachas, whatever it's called, Sader Hamarach. You have, if you read Korbanos in the morning, heard of it. Right? Because Abaye Hapi Mesader Sader Hamarach. There are at least three deos in Tanoim. What is Sader Hamarach? There are then deos in Amoraim in understanding them, and there are deos in Rishonim. We pass them like Abaye, but there are deos in Rishonim about how to understand what Abaye said. So I don't want to get into details, but you should be aware the Seder HaMaracha is what it sounds like. It's the Seder which you perform the Maracha. The Maracha is literally a bonfire on top of the base mitzvah where you burn the Korbanos, right?
Right.
The Seder with which you address it is the Seder HaMaracha. So they would start, the first thing you do, so to speak, in the Seder HaMaracha, it's not the first thing that I mentioned, but the first thing that's sort of meant, that's really aimed directly there, is of course, to add some wood to the fire. So we saw, even though the fire was burning through the night, as you'll remember from yesterday, right, we add two blocks of wood to the fire, right? V'chi kol ha'etzim k'shirim, there is a machlokes rishonim, by the way, Amoraim, does one coin hold it, or two, right? V'chikol ha'itzim k'shirin l'maracha. Hein is any wood kosher. Kol ha'itzim k'shirin l'maracha. Chutz mishal gefim shal zayis. Right? Any wood is kosher for the maracha. Anything, right? Except for Except for olive and grape wood, and we'll see why later, right? But either way, you're going to limit these ones they usually use. Bear marabia shaltane. We're not talking. What's marabias? Marabias is the branches that have lots of leaves on them. The reason why is that they burn better. Shell egg, guys. That's our walnut trees. Michelle eats Charmaine. Eat Charmaine is eight. Rashi says here it's an eight. It's a literally. It's like it's some trees have quite oily wood. Right, the wood contains a lot of oil and it really lights up. So that's the sort of thing they would put on the maracha. Right, it's not a particular tree. It's not a particular species. It is a general description. See, there is a maracha de la mizracha vechasisa mizracha. Right, so they would be masad there in the maracha gedola. Right. The Maracha Gdola is the biggest of the fires on the top of the Mizbeach. They would do it at the eastern end of the Mizbeach. V'chazisa Mizracha, and it was facing east. And the flame is facing east.
Phenomena produced regularly by natural causes, such as the melting of the snow where the atmosphere becomes
basically what they would do is they would try to set things up so that they could direct the wood onto the flames so it would burn better. The wind onto the flames, sorry, so it would burn better from the east. Now, look, when we say that the flame is in the east and just there, there are really two reasons. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, where is the what's the most important place? Pashtus.
Kodesh Kodashim.
Very good. Without being Nechnas and Tumas, it's Roshonim. It's actually Kodesh Kodashim, Rambam, the Rambam. Nagid.
Between Kodesh Kodashim and what else?
Rambam says Kodesh Kodashim. The Rambam is very famous for saying that the Ikram Beis HaMikdash was really for Korban HaSeh. True, but the most important place in Beis HaMikdash is Mizbech HaKitzen. The Beis HaMikdash is Mizbech HaKitzen. This is not intuitive, but that is what the Rambam fairly explicitly says at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaKhira. You can look at it there if you want. Anyway, so right, Beis Pashtus is a Kodesh Kodashim. I mean, the Kodesh Kodashim is on which side of the Beis HaMikdash?
Hello?
West.
Very good. Okay. Always the west, right? As in, it's the western edge of the Beis HaMikdash. You have this, if you picture the earth, alright, it's basically a rectangle, right? The western end, almost at the western wall of the Azara, no, not the western wall, not the Kotel HaMaravi. That's the western wall of Harabais.
Yeah.
Not of the Azara, right? The Radbaz thought it was of the Azara, he's incorrect, right? It's from, I mean, Bipashis, right? I don't know why I'm singing. He's incorrect, right? We know it's not true. Right? It's the wall of Harabais. The western wall of the Azara was within. It was on Harabais.
Red Buzz.
Yeah. There's a famous Christian criminal comes out of it. But you're not allowed to stand in the shade of the western wall because it's Mila.
All right.
How's that for a chumrah? Anyway, tough. So the western end, almost at the western wall of the Azara, is in fact the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's in the far western Beis HaMikdash, right? Then, extending to the east is the Heichal. Right, and after the Heichal you have the Ulam, which is where we discuss the Kohanim keep their knives and their other tools. Right, and then further west you have the bulk of the Azara. The Azara really surrounds the Beis HaMikdash, but the bulk of the Azara, the bit where the Korbanos are actually performed, is further west. Further east, excuse me. And smack in the middle, or maybe not smack in the middle, maybe slightly north, or maybe slightly south, right, is the Mizbech. Yeah?
Yeah.
What was I getting to with this?
And
then you have the flame of the Maracha Gdola, which is the primary flame of all the Pronos. But you're saying it's on the eastern edge, meaning it's as far as you can get from the Kodesh Kodashim and still be on the Mizbech.
This is in line with Rashi's interpretation of the
above. Okay. So, there are two ways you can learn it. You can either say that's the literal, or you can say it's about the wind.
Or both.
As in, sort of, it burns better.
Yeah, or both.
Unlikely to be both, right? They're very, very different.
Yeah.
Right? It might be that either one... It might be either one would be the other one as a, you know, tangential positive, but not... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to end up with both reasons, because that's not the way things tend to work. Okay. Aga, if you want to say that the Ikar flame is going to be the Ikar flame that is back, it's furthest from the Kodesh Kodashim. So again, there's two ways to learn that. You can learn that, and this is, I think, a massive stratum in Menorah MP. I don't want to get into details, because first we'll talk about Menorah later, and secondly, it's anyway too complicated for this particular forum. But like, you can learn it as saying that's deliberate in the sense that it's the most different thing from the Kodesh Kodashim that happens in the base Mikdash, and therefore it should be as far as possible, right? You know, making a statement, or you can say it's bringing the light from the Kodesh Kodashim out.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine. Okay, fine. Veroshei gezirin hafnimim hayu nogoin v'tapuach. And although it was on the eastern edge, it would extend all the way to Tapuach, which we discussed is in the middle of the Mount of Ash, which is in the middle of the Mizbeach, right? Verevachayabin gezirin shayu metzisin esalisa shom. And there was a gap between... between these blocks of wood, right? Because they would bring in much smaller pieces of wood to actually start the flame, right, to get the flame burning. I mean, the flame never stopped, but to get it burning better after it's sort of banked down over the course of the night, right? It's always burning, but it doesn't always burn equally strongly, right? So after it's banked down over the course of the night, you're going to bring in smaller pieces of wood to really get it going again, and then you'll stick the shaker's here, it's on, right? Note, Hatsasa Salisa, we pass in Avoida. If a Zara does it, it is forbidden. Right?
What's forbidden?
It's forbidden. There's Nisar Misa for a Zara to do it. Right? The Gemara and Yuma, discussion there. Right? The Gemara and Yuma says that Hatsasa Salisa is an Avoida.
So Alita is small branches?
Sorry?
Alita is small branches?
Usually actually means a tail, but yeah, that's what it means. The truth is, the Gemara there asks, well, what's enough? I mean, it's anyway happens on the Mizbeach, and V'chikza Eilea, the Eitchash is Zarkar, the Gavim Mizbeach, and the Gemara there answers, no, it's what if they shoot a flaming arrow? Right, so Zar cannot do it under any circumstance, right? Bararu Misham Atseite Eina Yafim. So they would bring really beautiful fig branches, right? They want it to be nice. Everything in the Mizbeach has to be nice. Sidir Esa Maracha Shnia Lakhtaris. Then they would set up the second Maracha, the second bonfire. What's the second bonfire? The second bonfire takes flame from the first one, from the first Maracha, makes the second flame. What was the point? Because you're then going to take flame from there to light the Mizbeach Lakhtaris.
But it's still on the Mizbeach. It's on.
Absolutely still on the Mizbeach. Right? Kenege the Marav is Dorimis, right, and that is on the southwestern side. Now, no, the southwestern side firstly is closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which makes sense, I suppose, for the Marach, which is really about the Chorus, right? It might be, given that Rabbi Yosef was Hazadea, that Mizbeach is a little bit to the north, it's in the northern half of the Azara, so then the southwestern side is actually close to the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Isn't it also easy to get to from the ramp?
Sorry?
Isn't it also easy to get to from the ramp? The ramp's to the south.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They mentioned the first cause, if you will. Right? In all the other cases...
My place. There we go. It wasn't perfectly on the corner. It was a little bit in from the corner northwards. Arba Amis, right? Be'oimed Chamesh Sain Gicholin. Shabbos Be'oimed Shmoine Sain. Kam Shama Yunaisin Shnei Bazich Levin Shalechim upon him. But it was.
A person is not judged by the accidental results of his deed, but by his intent. The accidental results are irrelevant.
They would do five satin. It's a measure of coals onto this flame, right?
The omed is the height.
Right?
The omed is the height.
I don't think so. I think it's just thinking how many were there.
Okay.
Right? I'm not certain what I use the exact verb, but I think that's what it means. And on Shabbos, we're talking about 8 sign. Why? Because they would use this flame also to burn the. What do we burn on the Shabbos?
The Musaf.
No. Levona. Which again makes sense because Levona, firstly, comes from the Heichal, secondly, is similar to the Chorus, right? Also makes sense. Right, Levona to the two dishes of Levona that were on top of the Shulchan. Yeah?
Alright.
That way they would, one on each of the 6 towers of bread. Right, they would take them outside and burn them on the Maracha Shnia.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Ha'ivorim ve'hapadorim sheloi nis'aklamer. Of anything which wasn't finished burning from the previous day, machzir nosei maracha return it. Ve'tzisu shtei marachas eish. Right, and they would light these two fires. Right, yardu v'olahem lishchas agazis. And then they would descend from the mizbeach. No, they still haven't brought the korban tamid. They've just made the fires ready. They would now go down to the Lishkas HaGazis. Who's in the Lishkas HaGazis?
The Beit Din.
Very good, the Sanhedrin. That's where the Sanhedrin is. Okay, note. It's a sugya in of itself, just to be aware. This point that you return things to the Mizbeach that are from the previous day is not Pasha the Gemara and Yuma, maybe ask, but wait, they're from the previous day.
Right.
They should be already Pasal. So the Gemara has a deal about when they would do this and how they would go about doing it. It's way, 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 way chutz. It's a very, very long discussion. Again, machlokes shrayim in there, b'chal, how to understand it. And it's one of those where the questions and answers are in the Gemara.
Right.
And I want to get into the details, just to be aware that the issue exists. Okay.
Where is the Lishkar HaGazit?
Sorry?
Where in the Beit HaMikdash?
It was in the south, though.
The south?
I think so. There. Give me a look at your map. This is the Zara. Yeah, here, this is it.
Some Khalif.
Some base.
All right.
Right, so you can see it's south. It's next to the Heichal.
It's right in the middle, right in the...
It's next to the Heichal.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Amar Rava Guzma. So, Rava... the Rava says this is a Guzma. What's an exaggeration? I mean, Guzma is an exaggeration, right? What is exaggerated here? The fact that when we said that that there were 300 kor of piled up ash, right? Says Rava, no, they weren't, right? No, in other words, the point it's making is there was a lot. It doesn't mean that there were literally that many. Now you think. But he's saying that, how do I know? In other words, how could I know? Because if you measure the size of the maracha, it simply couldn't hold that much. I'm going to just assume that he's right about that. I don't know how much longer the most kor is. Right? Hishku esatamid bekois shelzav. Okay. They would water the tamid with a cup, with a golden cup. I am not going to explain what it is later. It is a mission later in the Masechta. So we'll get to it, right? Amar Rava, Guzma. That's also an exaggeration. What's the Guzma? Mistama, that he's the golden. That they use the golden cup, right? They didn't really. And that's silly, right? Well, you're wrong. Amar Rabbi, Ami Dibra Tola, Lashain Havai. Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Havai Dibru Chachamim Lashon Havai says Rav Ami, sometimes the Torah said something which is like, not really what it meant. It means literally spoke falsely, but doesn't mean why. I mean, you know, not really what it meant, right? And Nevi'im also Chachamim sometimes spoke, didn't really mean what they said. Dibru Tel Lashon Havai, what's the taste in the Torah? Dichtiv Arim Gdolos Uvet Zoros Bashamayim, right? Says the Meraglim said about the cities in Eretz Yisrael, they were Arim, they were tremendously large, fortified cities, Bashamayim. Right? Bashamayim Salchadaitach? they're in heaven? These cities are in heaven? Ella Guzma. It's an exaggeration.
You're quoting somebody's words, that pasuk. Isn't it quoting...
Yeah. Who is it?
People responding to the spies.
No, the spies, what the spies said.
What the spies
That's what the spies saw in your Israel, they said.
It's not really the Torah is exaggerating, it's the spies exaggerating as recorded by the Torah.
But whatever the Torah chose to record it.
Okay.
Right? Dibru... Hachamim, Lashnev Hachamim, spoke falsely sometimes. Deha de Amran Tapuach Veishka. When it came to Tapuach, that is one example, right? It wasn't that much ash. It was a lot, but not that much. Vehishku is the time of Keshel Zav. And it was a case of them watering the time of the Keshel Zav, right? Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Amai, that the Nevi'im spoke falsely. Dichsiv Mechalim Bechalilim. They would play flutes, right? Who? Who's playing flutes? The Levi and the Beis HaMikdash, right? Oh, sorry, my bad. It's all the people of Yerushalayim when David Melch is bringing the Aron into the Mishkan when he built it on. In Gornanon, right? As in Vatipa, and the land buckled. There was an earthquake from the sound. No, there wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not, again, the point is here is obviously not to question the truthfulness of the Torah Nevi'im or Chanan. The point is to say that sometimes you don't need to take everything they say completely literally. Right? Amar Rabbi Yanai Bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yanai Bar Nachmani said in the name of Shmuel, the Shlishim Makamis Dibru Chacham Shanavai. Three times it happened. Veilahin, Tapuach, right? Geffen, Uparoches. Right? When it came to the Tapuach, when it comes to Geffen and when it comes to the Paroches, we're actually about to explain it, so I'll let the Gemara explain it, okay? This comes to contradict the statement of Rava, Hashku Astam and Keshel Zav. They did. According to this Breiter, they in fact did do that. Right, they did use a glass cup. Vama Rava Guzma. And didn't Rava say it's exaggeration? Kash Malan, Hanin Hasam Lai. Ein Anius Bemokim Ashira. So there it says, here, these are the exaggerations. That time it's not an exaggeration. Why? Why would they have actually used gold whenever they were adding any liquid to the Korban Talmud? Because Ein Anius B'Makom Ashiras. The Beis HaMikdash is a wealthy place, the place where we're putting the wealth of God and the Jewish people on display for the world. You're going to use something like never, something that doesn't look... No! You have to use something nice. It has to be gold.
Why did Rava say this iteration?
I don't know. He thought it was ridiculous, or he thought it would get ruined, or... I'm not really sure. It's not a good use of gold. I'm not sure. Tapuach Hadamron. The Tapuach we've already explained. It couldn't have been that big, right? Geffen. What did I mean by Geffen? This sign is written in Brisa. Geffen Zahav. I saw. I made this al Pesach Ahechol. There was a golden grapevine, meaning a golden model of a grapevine, standing at the door to the Ahechol. Umudle al Gabe Klunsa Kuonasais Vechol Shimenis Nadev Allah Ale or Gargur or Ishkol Mevivisai Leba. Right? And it was hanging from hooks, right? It was above the Pesach, it was above the door of the Hechal. It was stunning. It would have been beautiful, right? And anybody who was going to be Misnadev, anybody who was going to make a Nadava, a leaf, or Gagir, or a seed, or Eshkol, I suppose a single grape, right? Or Eshkol, or a bunch, maybe Vesoleba, he would come and he would hang it from this grapevine. Right, and then one Rabbi Elazar. What's the exaggeration? Up until now, it doesn't sound like an exaggeration. It's a funny exaggeration. If you're saying it didn't exist, that's not an exaggeration. That's just a lie, right?
Right.
What's the exaggeration? Says Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadik. Right. One time they wanted to move it for some reason. Presumably, they wanted to do maintenance work or something. I don't know exactly why. Right. And so it took 300 Kohanim to remove it.
Right.
It didn't take 300 Kohanim to remove it, it took less. But that's exactly the point. That is the exaggeration. Okay, we will continue. Please start tomorrow. Just parenthetically, this does touch on one important halacha, which, again, I'm going to breeze through. But there is a question. Okay, so, based on that Gemara, is it even conceivable that a tzar would climb onto the Mizbech, right? And the implication is, of course, not. It's a rhetorical question. Right, so, based on that, there is a machlokes rishonim. What exactly can a tzar do in the Beis Hamikdash? Or more accurately, can the tzar enter the Beis Hamikdash b'chol? Can a non-kohen enter?
Well, up to the Ezra Yisrael.
B'chol. Right, so a non-kohen can certainly enter up to the Mizbeach. Why? How do I know? Bring the korban.
Can you, I thought you can only do like shechita.
What?
Isn't only shechita?
Federer, they can enter the Ezra to do that.
The Ezra kohen?
To do tnufa, yeah. To do tnufa, to do smicha.
How far does
to shecht if they want to.
The reed has a shita
that the shechita is actually a mitzvah on the Bailim, and that the Kohenim can only do it, but shlichus the Bailim. So of course they can enter the Zara. Right? How far does Sota go? The Sota only goes to that, but it's Zeres Kosov.
Fine.
Right? I think Midrash says, because we're afraid she'll drop dead. Afraid she'll drop dead and we don't want a dead body in the Zara. I think Midrash says that.
I thought if she starts turning pale, they have to take her out.
We rush her out as fast as possible, but she's standing in the gates.
Alright.
Can they get past the Mizbeach? So the Rambam says no. The Ramban says yes to do maintenance work. The Ramban says makes a lot of sense, but Lichora, he has a problem in this Gemara, right? Why do you need 300 Kohanim to remove it if you can anyway have regular Jews come in to do the maintenance work? Not sure. But there's problems for both sides. It just this happens to be a problem for the Ramban, but the Ramban also has issues in this particular market because there are Gemara's Lachan.
Okay.
Shkoyach.